The Art Spot with Art Minius on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome to The Art Spot. Today we're talking about the Beatles, not because the Fab Four are themselves coming to Chapel Hill, but because our two wonderful vocal groups, Voices and Cantari, in upcoming weeks are going to be presenting programs featuring the music of the Beatles. And we have with us today musical director Dr. Sue Klausmeier and alto Esther Campy to talk about these two groups. Great programs coming up on June 1st at Memorial Hall and June 9th at the Art Center. And in full disclosure, Cantarian Voices and the Art Center are longtime friends and collaborators. They supplied all but one of the voices and actors in our incredibly successful All Is Calm production back in December for Art Center stage. So these are old friends. This is not going to be a Mike Wallace ambush interview at all. Welcome to the Art Spot, Esther and Sue.
Hi, Art. Thanks for having us here.
So tell us about these two shows coming up. We have Mozart Meets McCartney at Memorial Hall on June 1st, and From Convent to Abbey Road on June 9th at the Art Center.
Well, we chose a piece by Paul McCartney, one of the Beatles, writing in a classical English choral style called Ecce Cor Meum. And the composition of this piece is quite interesting to hear about, so I hope you'll let me tell you a little story.
Please.
Back in the year 2000, I was working on a doctorate at University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music and was writing about John Taverner, the British composer Sir John Taverner. And I happened to see a little piece that said there was going to be a concert in New York City in May of that year, and I bought a ticket because Taverner doesn't come to the United States very often. And so I flew up there, and Paul McCartney was sitting three rows in front of me. It was at St. Ignatius Loyola up on the Upper East Side, I think. And it was a concert of all music by Taverner, and the Tallis Scholars were there to perform. And Sir Paul was the narrator in the pieces. And as it turns out that the Beatles had a connection with John Taverner going way back. John Taverner's brother was a builder, and he happened to be working on Ringo Starr's house. And he met. So they made the little connection. And the Beatles had their own production label at the time, Apple. You remember the green apple?
Yeah.
And so they recorded Taverner's first big success, called The Whale. So I feel especially excited about having that little connection to the piece.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story, Sue.
But the piece was a commission from Magdalene College in Oxford. And the president of the college called Paul McCartney, and they were going to be dedicating a new performance facility, and they want to do something different and have a piece to play or perform at that dedication. So he invited Paul and his wife, Linda, at that time, to come to the college, look around, hear the choir. And they did that, and Paul evidently was very impressed with the sound of the choir and wanted to rise to the occasion of doing something in a classical tradition, but still with his own special lyrical quality and pop style a little bit. And so he accepted it. So it was a phone call that started the thinking going about this piece. And interestingly enough, he started with no theme in mind, no text in mind, just some melodies and harmonies and tunes, and started writing it. And then his wife became ill and died in, I think, 1998. And so right in the middle of sort of thinking about this music, he had a terrible tragedy, and he didn't write anything for over a year. When he came back to the piece, he started feeling like he could write again. He started with what's now labeled as interlude or lament in the middle of this composition. And it features an oboe solo. And he said that every time he started working on it, he would cry. And it was a piece that this little interlude, short movement, helped him to work through his feelings of grief.
Yeah.
He himself did not write the music in that he didn't notate it, but he comes up with the ideas and the tunes and how he wants it to go. And for this particular piece, he worked with a MIDI keyboard and a synthesizer, and so he was able to, perform the music, and then he had a helper who would do the notation for him.
Yeah, I have a friend I'll see tomorrow, actually, who has written two operas and can't write a note of music.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I read an interview where Sir Paul McCartney said, you know, he thought, this was the first time I guess he'd used a synthesizer, he thought he could just play what he wanted into this computer program synthesizer and it, out would come a printed score, but he found out that wasn't exactly how it worked. It wasn't quite that simple, but still... you know, he did at least use a keyboard. He does play a keyboard. He had some piano lessons as a child, I learned. Yeah. And I actually worked in a church for a while and was a choir boy in Liverpool. So this composition, interestingly enough, is the first time he ever wrote for children's choir. Wow. So we were bringing in a children's choir from Creekside Elementary. Amanda Haas is their director there. So we have orchestra, soprano soloist Andrea Edith Moore, who's a fabulous soprano. And our chorus voices, you know, over 100 members, and orchestra.
Now, y'all will also be performing a piece from Mozart on June 1st.
Oh, that's right. I call this concert Mozart Meets McCartney. And I started thinking about what to pair with the McCartney piece when I was planning the program. I thought, well, you know, they both had fan clubs when they were youthful. They were both kind of young successes and were at the top of their game. And Mozart just sings so beautifully, writes so skillfully for the voice. I knew that my choir would enjoy singing this. It's a Missa Brevis in F that's on the program. And then as a little sideline in the middle of the program, we have our Cantari ensemble coming on stage to sing a few Beatles songs that are in great arrangements. Yeah. You know, a lot of professional choirs sing wide-ranging repertoire, including tributes to the Beatles. And so quite a number of very fine arrangers have done good arrangements for choirs. People like the King Singers, yeah. Chanticleer, the Swingle Singers, they all do Beatles tunes. And so Cantari's in there with the best of them.
Indeed. And that brings up a good point as we near the end of this segment. Cantari and voices, I think every time I have you on the show, I ask you to explain the two groups and how they interrelate.
Well, Voices is our parent organization, you'd say. They used to be called the Chapel Hill Community Chorus, and about a year ago we changed our name to Voices. And this group does a couple of performances a year with instruments. This will be with full orchestra, this performance. And Voices is a select, chose to create a select ensemble called Cantari, and we have under 30 members in that group, and they do mostly a cappella works, but sometimes things with accompaniment. We've done 3 concerts this year.
All right, Mozart Meets McCartney in Memorial Hall on the UNC campus, Saturday, June 1st at 8 p.m., and we'll be right back on the Art Spot after this. Welcome back to the Art Spot. We're talking with Sue Klausmeier and Esther Campy today from Voices and Cantari about two big shows coming up involving the music of the Beatles and more on June 1st and June 9th. Esther, give us a bit of the singer's perspective from the Alto II section on singing the music of Sir Paul McCartney.
Well, I'll tell you, Art, it's fun for a singer and challenging because McCartney really takes you through a range of emotions. So you can go from something that almost sounds like a march and has the drums in the background and very joyous and open to the sad lament of an oboe. And then on the other end, you get kind of this philosophical, pensive type of ballad. So I don't know if I should admit this with the conductor sitting right here, but we have a little parlor game, a little parlor game in the Alto II section where we will dissect certain passages of this classical composition and try to figure out if it matches up with, you know, something that we heard from the Beatles. You know, that sounds a little like I Want to Hold Your Hand or Yesterday.
It's really impressive the depth Sir Paul's achieved in his music this century. He's taken it to a level that's extraordinary and probably too extraordinary for his commercial success. People are going to keep hollering for the old Wings and Beatles songs. But music he's making, and I think developing this piece y'all are doing on June 1st was a big part of that evolution into really a composer, not a songwriter.
And I really admire someone who throughout their life is willing to take on a new adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I read in one interview that he was hoping that this piece Ecce Cormeum, his oratorio, might be something like Handel's Messiah, in that people, children, people all over the world would sing it. And maybe he thinks of it as part of his legacy, but there is a very important quote in the music where he says, "Here in my music, I show you my heart." And so even though he's experimenting with a style that, you know, he hasn't been trained to write in the Handelian tradition of creating an oratorio, he's listened to music all of his life, and he's trying something new. But he says that when you look back at my complete works, you'll see me in all of them. And I heard another person who had the opportunity to interview him. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to talk with him about this. We have invited him, but his people haven't gotten back to our people yet about that. But he said the critics weren't very complimentary, shall we say, about the performance. First performance was in London, and then a second full performance in Carnegie Hall. And some of them called it simplistic. Some of them said, well, it was pleasant. You know, some other sort of offhand remarks comparing him to composers who have studied classical compositional techniques. And he said, well, you know, I don't think too much about the critics. Sergeant Pepper was damned by the New York Times. And, you know, that became one of the most revolutionary albums of all time for many reasons. And he said, you know, She Loves You was called banal. But, you know, those were just turning points in his career. And who's to say that he won't continue to write more things in a classical style? And but it's also interesting to hear him say, you know, he works with someone who transcribes the music for him, does the notation, and advises him. He said, you know, in this point, I wanted to put a seventh in the chord, and the person I was working with said, well, a classical composer wouldn't do that. And he said, well, I don't care. Just put it in there. Yeah. Or somebody would say, well, don't double the thirds. And he said, well, that makes me want to double all the thirds. So he still has, you know, freedom to be himself and take on a new task.
Well, if you listen to the critics, all you produce is reactions to what the critics wrote, and that generally is not very good art.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about the June 1st performance at Memorial Hall on the UNC campus of Mozart Meets McCartney. We also have coming up at the Arts Center in Carrborough on June 9th, From Convent to Abbey Road. What will that program be about?
Well, I know that all kinds of education takes place at the Arts Center, and from classes to dance to drama. And so, you know, I feel that the door is wide open for us to do any kind of music we want to do there. So we're starting with Hildegard von Bingen, a Benedictine abbess, and some chants sung by our women, and some Victoria. We're doing some pieces by Eric Whitaker that are on the Very Humorous Poetry by Ogden Nash. You know, he's the guy who said, you know any of his poems?
The limerick guy,
Well, he's the one that said, candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Yeah.
We're not singing that one, but I always bring that up. But these are all about animals. And then we have a set called Tribute to the Beatles, and it includes some of their most famous tunes. I brought a list so I wouldn't forget, but we've got You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, If I Fell in Love with You. Back in the USSR is a very rhythmic ringing number, And I Love Her, and Eleanor Rigby. And then one final one, Here Comes the Sun. And, you know, in the Cantare Ensemble, we have a couple of guys who not only have very high-powered professional careers and sing in a choir, but also play instruments. So one of our neuroscientists, I think, is going to step up and play bass guitar for us. And then we have another corporate type who's a computer guy who plays rhythm guitar, and we're bringing in a drummer. So when we come to George Harrison's Here Comes the Sun, we'll have our own band.
All right.
Some of the other numbers are a cappella, but just great arrangements, and I think people are going to enjoy those.
That sounds like an incredibly fun evening on Sunday, June 9th. It's 4 in the afternoon, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm saying evening. In eastern North Carolina, that would apply to 4 in the afternoon. We're in central North Carolina.
I think it's a perfect time to come to a concert. It'll last a little over an hour, and then head to one of those nearby restaurants for a dinner.
Indeed. Carrborough is a great place for exactly that kind of experience, where we have performance, visual art, restaurants, bars, and it's all walkable. It's a lovely place to be located, a great home for an art center as we've grown over the last 39 years together.
That's right.
So we should note that tickets can be obtained for from Convent to from Abbey Road. Are they on our website?
They are. You can also pick them up at the Art Center and also on the Voices website. And our website is voiceschapelhill.org. You can get tickets there for both the Voices concert and the Cantare concert.
Great. And the Art Center is artcenterlive.org. And the box office number is 919-929-2787 for Convent to Abbey Road on June 9th. For the June 1st concert at Memorial Hall for Mozart meets McCartney, you can obtain those from voiceschapelhill.org. Two big shows, and we'll be back to talk a bit more about them with Sue Klausmeier and Esther Campy right after this. Welcome back to the Art Spot. We're visiting today with Esther Campy and Sue Klausmeier from Voices and Cantare, who have two big shows coming up June 1st at Memorial Hall on UNC with Mozart to McCartney, and then at the Art Center at 4 p.m. on June 9th for From the Convent to Abbey Road. That'll take us all the way from Benedictine chants to the music of the Beatles with actual electric rock band up there on our stage with Voices and Cantare. You had a couple of more stories about Sir Paul, I believe, Sue.
Well, I'm not, of course, an expert on him, but I've read a lot of interviews that he's granted through the years, and I thought this was particularly interesting. Someone asked him, were there any classical composers or pieces that he couldn't live without? And have any idea who he might have said, Art?
Well, I'm going to guess Handel.
Well, good guess, but he said this: I do have lots of pieces I like, but if I had to choose something to go on a desert island with, it would be Chopin's Nocturnes.
Wow.
Isn't that unusual? So it says something he comes back to all the time.
Piano player.
That's right. And then, you know, moving to this world of classical forms, the oratorio, at one point in his life, back in the 60s, he was sort of turned off by classical music, and he said, well, pop music is the classical music of today, as if he were intimidated by the classical figures or composers or styles. But now, with Ecce Cormeo and being in this sacred British choral tradition, it's like he's come full circle.
Yeah.
And he's looking at that. And one time he said, I thought this was an interesting quote, about the time that he wrote Eleanor Rigby, or they did that, I had this image of myself in a kind of tweed jacket with patches on the elbows and a pencil and some manuscript paper, and I thought, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do when the Beatles runs out.
Yeah, indeed. I think a lot of us have been of this generation have been on the same journey where the classical music was the music we were told we should like and should listen to, so we ran as far as we could in the other direction. And then as adults, all those pieces start coming back to our heads, and we happen to spin the dial past the classical station and stop and listen and suddenly rediscover works we had forgotten from 40 years ago.
It might be a refuge for you in times when you're sad or you're angry or you're just happy, or, you know, it's just a place to return to, as all great works of art, I think, are.
Exactly. That's what makes them survive through the years. Voices and Cantare, June 1st at Memorial Hall with Mozart meets McCartney. That is an 8 p.m. show. And then 4 p.m. on Sunday, June 9th at the Art Center. For From Convent to Abbey Road, tickets at voiceschapelhill.org. Esther, you had something to finish up our Art Spot for today?
Well, yes. Thank you, Art. You know, I would just tell the audience out there that, you know, it's not every day that you hear the names Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and Paul McCartney in the same breath. So this is really a rare opportunity for the audience to come out and listen to the work of really two superstars, one superstar from modern pop culture and one superstar from the pages of history. So we hope you'll join us.
Indeed. And Mozart might be where superstardom all started way back when, and before Beethoven demanded people pay attention. Thanks so much for Esther Campy and Sue Klausmeier being on the Art Spot today. Thanks to y'all for listening.
That's all right. Thank you.